KALW.
This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. Today we're bringing you a special documentary looking at H-1B visas. Today's show starts at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning in San Francisco's Embarcadero Center.
I see this long line early in the morning queuing up outside an English language institute. The line looks brown because it's mostly Indians or South Asians.
That's Mother Jones reporter Sinduja Rangarajan. She stopped by the English Language Institute with KALW's immigration reporter Teresa Katsarilis. And Teresa's joining me now in studio. Hi, Teresa.
Hey, Hannah.
So, among other things, the English Language Institute hosts English proficiency tests, right?
Right, exactly.
So why are all these people lining up to take an English test so early in the morning?
Yeah, so the people in this line are all longtime Bay Area residents, mostly white-collar workers. Many of them are originally from India. And pretty much everyone in this line is already quite fluent in English. Mm-hmm. But they're taking this particular test because it's a required step for highly skilled immigrants applying for residency in Canada.
So all these people are thinking about immigrating to Canada.
Pretty much, yeah. A lot of the people in this line immigrated to the United States on this very common work visa called an H-1B. A lot of white-collar professionals use it. You can qualify for it if you have a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And under the Trump administration, they're afraid their visas might get denied. Mm-hmm. H-1B visa denials have really gone up under the Trump administration. And the reporter I worked with on this project, Sinduja Rangarajan, spent most of the past year investigating why. I produced a story about Sinduja's findings for the Center for Investigative Reporting's podcast, Reveal. Their host, Al Letson, had a lot of questions for Sinduja about what she found and how these denial rates are impacting her and her family.
Let's listen.
All right.
For the past 8 months, data reporter Sinduja Rangarajan has been reporting on an issue that affects thousands of people, including her own family.
After my husband Vinod and I put our daughter to sleep, we've gotten into this routine.
Okay, let's go down and... Are you ready?
Okay.
We go down to our drawing room, open up our laptops...
Okay, sit down next to me.
Okay.
And get to work. Because we've been trying to immigrate to Canada.
Express entry... okay.
We have like a job after our daughter goes to sleep, which is like just immigration-related paperwork.
Sinduja, I gotta say, I was really surprised the first time you told me you were thinking about leaving the U.S. I've known you for years. The two of us used to work together here at Reveal. Now you're a reporter at Mother Jones. You have a great career, and it just seems like, well, it seems like you built a life in this country.
I have, and so has my husband, Vinod. We are originally from India, we've lived here in the U.S. for years. Our daughter was born here. Vinod also has a great job here. He's an executive at a tech company. But our future still feels really unstable. And our immigration status is tied to our jobs. And Vinod is on this work visa called H-1B.
In basic terms, what's an H-1B?
Well, Al, they're for pretty high-skilled people. Lots of computer programmers are on them. Employers apply on your behalf, and you need to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. These visas are really popular among Indian immigrants. Around 70% of people on H-1Bs are Indian. And these visas are temporary, but they get renewed a lot.
You say a lot. I mean, how much is that?
Two-thirds of H-1Bs approved in the last fiscal year were actually renewals. Vinod's been on H-1Bs for years without any problems. But when he was getting ready to renew his visa this year, a lawyer told us there's a chance it could get denied.
They're asking that we file for the renewal earlier than usual.
Under the Trump administration, there's been this surge in the number of H-1B visas that are getting denied. Like in 2015, when Obama was in office, only 4% of these visas were denied. This year, that figure quadrupled. 16% of applicants are getting turned down. And this really fascinates me, because H-1Bs are one of the most popular visas in the U.S., and all kinds of white-collar workers use them.
Companies are moving offices to other countries because our immigration rules prevent them from retaining highly skilled and even, if I might, totally brilliant people. We discriminate against genius. We discriminate against brilliance. We won't anymore.
That's Trump earlier this year, discussing what he calls merit-based immigration. Basically, he wants elite immigrants with lots of skills. But his administration's cracking down on the visa. A lot of those people need to immigrate here. So I wanted to know whose visas are getting denied, why are they getting denied, and are all of these denials even legitimate? That's what I wanted to find out. A lot of these immigrants feel like they've followed the rules and done everything right. There's a guy I met who's a really good example of this. We're calling him Samir.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Come on in.
Samir's not his real name. He's afraid his immigration status might be affected if he speaks out publicly. My producer, Teresa, and I went to meet him at his apartment in suburban Dallas. He lives there with his wife and his 5-year-old son, who, by the way, was very cutely obsessed with our recorder.
I know, it's cool, right? How old are you?
Beep, beep.
Yeah. Samir moved to the United States in 2006. He came here for grad school, he got a master's in environmental engineering, and then he landed a job at this Fortune 500 health insurance company, which is a household name, United Healthcare. One of his jobs was to streamline the way the company processed claims.
Our claims process, if you had a medical claim, it used to take almost 3 to 4 months to get it cleared. And then we dropped down that time to almost a month and a half. But there were times I worked like 70, 80 hours a week because we wanted, you know, people to get cured. They need to get the treatment. I put my soul in there.
And he received an H-1B visa.
My whole life was with United Healthcare.
He was doing really well at his job. And he also started falling in love with this country.
I never used to celebrate Christmas back home in India. But I did go to church here for the first time, just to see how they celebrate. This country is built on immigrants, right? And I wanted to feel that.
So when Samir's first H-1B ran out, United Healthcare applied to renew it. And in 2014, he was approved. This is kind of how it went for Samir. His visa would run out, get renewed, run out, get renewed. Then he decided, okay, I want to stay in the United States for good. I really like it here.
And then they filed for my green card.
United Healthcare sponsored him, and the US government said he's qualified for one. Samir has actually been waiting for a green card for a couple of years now. The US caps how many green cards it issues per country per year. And there are so many Indian people immigrating here that for us, there's a really long wait.
So at this point, it sounds like Samir's had a pretty typical H-1B experience.
Yeah. He's been in the US for 10 years at this point. He and his wife started building a real life here. They had a son, and they bought their first house. Samir says he spent years saving up for the down payment. It's a very beautiful big house in the suburbs of Dallas. And Samir was really in love with it.
I choose each and every single item for that house, the brick selection or everything. We picked up the land. We went to each and every process, go to the design center. We put our hearts in it.
Samir and his family thought they were going to live here for the rest of their lives. That was in 2017, Trump's first year in office.
To breaking news, President Trump signing an executive order in Wisconsin not long ago titled Buy American, Hire American.
President Trump today ordering federal agencies to look at tightening the H-1B visa program.
So in 2017, Trump signed the executive order Buy American, Hire American, which urged federal agencies to overhaul H-1Bs.
Yeah, this is where the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services enters the story. Most people know it by USCIS. They're the agency that processes green cards, citizenship applications, and visas like the H-1B. Around this time, USCIS starts releasing a series of memos, basically directing its officials to approach H-1Bs a lot more skeptically. Officials are told to look at each visa application as if it's a brand new case, even if the person has been renewed many times before, and they're also told to really question an applicant's credentials. So this means that if you're an immigrant, one of the questions these memos are trying to get at is, does your job really need you? For Samir, well, it looks like his job really needs him. He's been at United Healthcare for 7 years. He keeps getting raises, bonuses, and then in 2018, he gets moved to a subsidiary, a sister company within United Health Group, doing the same kind of work. And they filed his H-1B again, and this time there was trouble.
They said, okay, my H-1 was denied.
Samir tried not to panic. He says his employer told him they would refile his application. Then, one morning at about 8:30...
There was a call, there was a meeting about a project, and I was giving some inputs on everything, everything went fine. At 9 o'clock, they scheduled another one-on-one meeting with me, the HR, and the director.
In that meeting, they told Samir that they were terminating him.
I wasn't even able to, talk or do anything, and my life just stopped.
United Health Group wouldn't talk to us about Samir's case. They did say that when an employee's H-1B visa is denied, they're required by law to terminate them. They could have appealed USCIS's decision, but they didn't.
I asked my manager, guys, I know you're terminating, but are you giving me like a 2 weeks notice or something? And then they said, no. That's again, my heart stopped again. And I asked them, okay, I've been working here for 8 years. Are you sending me out at least with some severance package or anything? No. My heart stopped again.
Sanduja, what did this mean for Samir's immigration status?
Al, his status was tied to his job. So without his H-1B, his family would be forced to move back to India.
I mean, even right now, my brain is freezed. That day was tough, really tough.
What did USCIS tell Samir about why his application was denied?
Well, I reviewed his denial. The agency pointed to Samir's education and said his master's degree wasn't 100% related to his job. So they decided he wasn't qualified.
Come on, a lot of people study one thing in school and go on to do something totally different.
Exactly. He also had years of experience doing this job, which the H-1B visa is supposed to take into account. And when you look at Samir's case, he doesn't line up with the kind of person Trump says he's cracking down on. This is Trump, right after signing his Buy American, Hire American executive order.
Right now, widespread abuse in our immigration system is allowing American workers of all backgrounds to be replaced by workers brought in from other countries to fill the same job for sometimes less pay. This will stop.
It's true that with H-1Bs, there are plenty of people who haven't followed the rules. Companies have abused the program and used it to bring in low-paid foreign workers. H-1Bs do need to be reformed. But Samir doesn't fit into that category. He was doing highly skilled work at a major company. I was curious to know how many other highly skilled people were getting denied too. So I started calling immigration attorneys all over the country.
So I made a list of my top examples.
Sandra Feist is an immigration attorney based in Minneapolis. She says officials are questioning whether some of her clients are qualified to do their jobs, even when their qualifications are pretty obvious.
I have two cases right now for mechanical engineers requesting additional evidence that the mechanical engineering degree earned in the United States is relevant to the mechanical engineering job. Apparently, the connection between those two is just not clear.
Then there are clients who are getting denied for being too qualified. For example, I came across this pathologist with a stack of degrees, including a master's degree in veterinary pathology, a doctor of veterinary medicine, and a PhD in pathology. A Fortune 500 pharmaceutical company wanted to hire him as an associate director of pathology, but that application was denied. USCIS said his job could be done by someone without a college degree.
Wait, I don't know anybody who learned about pathology in high school.
Me neither. The agencies also denied architects, engineers, all on the grounds that you don't need a bachelor's degree to do those jobs. Attorneys like Sandra find this so frustrating.
We don't know what the rules are anymore to the game.
A lot of Sandra's clients are Indian immigrants. They've worked for years on temporary visas while they wait in that long green card line. Now, instead of getting their residency, Sandra says some of them might be forced to move back to India. She remembers this one client. When USCIS denied her H-1B, she'd been living in the U.S. for over a decade.
Like, she looked at me across the table and she said, I just feel like garbage. I feel like the government just thinks I'm garbage. It was really sad.
Sandra says that client sued the federal government over her H-1B denial. And when she did, this funny thing happened. Before a judge even looked at the case, USCIS just reversed its decision and approved the visa.
So did they just turn around and say they made the wrong decision here?
Well, there are lots of reasons people settle in court. The only way to really know what's going on here is to track down as many cases as possible, review them all yourself, and talk to all the attorneys, which is what I did. Over the last few months, I built this database, which several different legal experts tell me is the most comprehensive one they've heard of. The first thing I found is that the Trump administration is getting sued a lot more over this. And remember, it's employers who apply for H-1Bs on behalf of their employees. So companies are really sticking their necks out there by suing the federal government over this. There may be more cases out there, but from what I found, before Trump took office, USCIS was sued about 10 times a year over H-1B denials. But in the last 2 years, they've been sued almost 90 times. And in over a third of those lawsuits, USCIS did the same thing they did with Sandra's client. They reversed their decision and approved those H-1Bs before a judge could rule in the case.
Other than these lawsuits, do we have any other window into what's going on with H-1Bs?
Yes, we do. USCIS has its own appeals process. I looked at those cases too, and I found that USCIS's own appeals office is overturning H-1B denials at a record rate. In the past, it overturned less than 3% of its decisions, but in the last 2 years, the agency has been overturning 14% of its cases. That's more than five times as many.
So what are we supposed to make of all this?
Well, I tried to talk to USCIS about wrongful denials. Agency spokespeople say they won't comment on pending litigation, and they told me they adjudicate all applications fairly. But according to the legal experts I talked to, this shift in the agency's H-1B policies, it might be unlawful. They say when USCIS drastically changes the rules around a visa, it's supposed to allow for public comments and go through this formal rulemaking procedure. And in this case, the agency didn't do any of that. These changes have thrown a lot of people's lives into chaos, particularly people who've lived on H-1Bs in this country for so many years. That's what happened to Samir.
So I've decided, I have to sell my house.
Samir and his wife sold the house?
They didn't have a choice. They thought they were going back to India.
I think in the past 10 years since we were married, that was the first time my wife saw tears in my eyes.
Samir and his family moved into a smaller apartment about 5 minutes away. He says they tried to make the move seem like this big adventure to their son.
We didn't want to tell him that we were going through this pain. No father or parents would like to let their kids know that they're going through a hard time.
And then this confusing thing happened. Samir scrambled to find another job. His new employer applied for an H-1B on his behalf. And strangely, it got approved.
Was there anything different about this application?
There were some minor differences, but really, he's the same guy with the same qualifications, with the same amount of experience for a similar job.
This just seems really inconsistent. Am I missing something?
No, Al. Inconsistent is a really good way of describing it. I came across several cases where it's not clear why USCIS is ruling one way or the other. And for Samir, it meant that all of this, selling his house, turned out to be for nothing.
Stone Hollow. Oh, I missed it.
This one.
Maybe this one?
Yeah, this one.
There's a fountain in this one.
Oh, yeah.
When my producer Teresa and I went to Dallas, we visited Samir's dream house.
Which one?
The white one.
Wow.
It was clearly more than just a house for him.
Do you come here often? Every once in a while?
I did. I used to. After I sold my house, I came in at least like 20, 30 times.
After he sold it, he kept driving by just to look at it. He used to visit once a day, then once a week. He tries not to anymore.
Sanduja, did reporting on this make you think about your family's situation differently?
You know, it just feels like the game keeps changing and it's kind of rigged against us. My family is also dependent on H-1Bs, and we also thought we might have to move back to India. Lawyers told us that my husband Vinod's H-1B could be denied, but it actually got renewed recently.
That is a huge relief.
It is, but it's also only good for 3 years. So it doesn't change this constant limbo that we're in. We're still thinking of moving to Canada. Or if we have to.
Well, it is what it is. If nothing, we can always go back to India.
I don't want to. Vinod and I talk about leaving the United States pretty much all the time. He's tired of the uncertainty. One of my friends has already left. One of his closest friends is planning to leave too.
This just made me realize that we just gave our youth to this country. Yeah. And so I just feel like it's a betrayal of some sort, you know. We worked here, we contributed here.
I've invested so much of my life here. And I want to fight it out and stay. But I'm just not sure I'll be able to.
Sanduja Rangarajan is a senior data reporter with Mother Jones. The story was produced by KALW's immigration reporter Teresa Katsarilis. It was originally aired on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Before we leave you today, let's listen to some local music. This is John Schott from Berkeley. He's performing at the Ivy Room in Albany tomorrow night. Today's team includes Janae Darden, Precious Green, Lisa Morehouse, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Sarah Lai Sterling. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tadek Foda, and Gabe Graben. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.